Well, it's nice to be in Sunday school chapel today, all right?
Amen.
Grab your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter number 1 now. Let's just look at this real quickly. Proverbs chapter 1, you already know the verse number 10. It says this, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Say it with me now, the verse, Proverbs 1:10 together.
My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not.
One more time, Proverbs 1:10 together.
My son, if sinners entice thee.
You know, it's interesting as far as human nature, when we started having children, my wife and I, that the kids, the first word that they said was the word no. I mean, it was really amazing. And it wasn't just one of the kids. It was all the kids. It was almost like, you know, it's the first word that comes to their mind. All right, kids understand even before they can speak sentences. Hey, don't do that. No. Now, they can't say anything else, but they can say no. It's part of our human nature to be able to say no when it comes to doing right. But that's not what the verse is talking about. This is talking about saying no when it comes to doing wrong. My son of sinners, entice thee. Entice thee for what? Entice you to do wrong. I believe it was Spurgeon that said this. He said the hardest word in the Latin language is the word no. And what he's referring to is when it comes to saying no to our flesh, the world, the devil, as far as saying no as far as to sin. And, you know, As Christians, whether you're young or old, that is something you're going to have to deal with all of your life, is saying no. All right? Hey, are you with me this morning? Say amen. All right? You know, one of the reasons people, but one of the reasons young people are very healthy and fit when they're young, but then they bloat in just a few years after college usually, but the reason they do is because they just can't say no. I had a guy one time in chapel, and I'll never forget it. I don't know if it was really wise of him to say it, but he was a preacher when I was in school. He was a preacher in college, and he stood behind the pulpit, and he just said, "Fellas, be careful who you marry. If she can't say no to a kiss from you, she won't be saying no to a buffet later." And I'm telling you, when he said that, my eyes, he was really so blunt about it. But what he was trying to say is, if you can't say no to temptation in one area, you're probably not going to say no to temptation in another area. The key is that in your life, is that you want to get to a place where you can say no. No, no, I'm not going to do that. And so this morning, last week, you said, shh. This week, you're going to say no. Every time I ask you a question, you're just going to say no. Do you all have that?
No.
Okay, you got it. All right, good. So this morning, I want you to think about this word no. And I want you to get into a habit, and again, not things that are right, but things that are wrong, of saying no. All right, do you want a cigarette?
No.
Would you like a beer?
No.
Would you like to smack your neighbor?
No.
No. No. All right. So you want to get in a habit of the Christian life of saying no. All right. So I want to talk to you about three things this morning about this area of saying no. And the first one is the verse that we're talking about, where he says in Proverbs 1:10, "My son, if sinners entice thee, say, consent thou not." The first thing or person you're going to say no to is sinners. You're going to say no to people who want you to do wrong. Now, all of you are going to come to times in that life. Now, when you come to school, we have teachers in your class. For the most part, they're overseeing you, so somebody can't get you to do wrong. Not that it doesn't happen, alrighty? Because sometimes you come to school and, hey, I want to show you something. Or you tell somebody, hey, don't tell anybody this. It's very easy. But for the most part, you're being watched. But the day's going to come, you're not going to be in a situation like this. I've told you about the time that I was introduced to cigarettes for the first time, and a bunch of us teenagers were in the car. Mrs. Porter had taken us. She was going to run to the bank. My dad let me go. Greg was one of my friends, Greg Porter, and him and I went to school from kindergarten through 12th grade together. He's still in church doing well, but Greg's mom, his dad smoked. She didn't smoke, but his dad smoked. And so it was Mrs. Porter, for whatever reason, I think Greg was in the back seat, but it was Mrs. Porter, it was Tony Rodriguez, it was myself, in the back seat would have been Greg Porter, his brother, Tony's brother, Roberto Rodriguez, and there was, I think, one or two other guys. So all of us were with us, for whatever reason, went to the bank. Mrs. Porter ran inside, and Tony was sitting in the middle, I was sitting in the front seat by the door, and Tony opened up the ashtray, and there were cigarettes that were only half smoked, they were about half smoked. And Tony took one of those half cigarettes, took the lighter, and lit it, and took a smoke and puffed it out. And then he handed it over to me, or tried to hand it over to me, and he said, "Hey, try this." Now, for me, it was not a matter of wanting to smoke or the newness of smoking. It was that in my mind, I thought, if I do that, my dad will kill me. I mean, literally. I mean, he would. I felt I would, you know, my last days were coming to an end. So I said, "No way, I'm not doing that." And so he quickly, you know, put it away and He's the only one that in the car. But that's the only time in my life somebody's asked me to have a cigarette, all right? I've never had anybody else. But as a teenager, that was the first time that somebody asked me, hey, would you like to take a smoke? I remember my brother, first time rock music was an issue. I've never been attached or enjoyed that kind of, I've never, for whatever reason. Now, some people, they really get attached to the world's music or rock music in that kind of situation. But we were in a car, we were going somewhere, Tim Biddles was driving, Tim Biddles was a senior, I was a freshman in high school, my brother probably was a sophomore or junior at the time, and we were driving somewhere. In Tim Biddles' car, I don't understand the kick people get out of it. Back then, people wanted to have the largest speakers you could find in the car. So when you turn the music on, the car would rumble. And I'll never forget, we were going to a youth activity at Tim Biddles' church, and my brother and I, my dad let my brother and I go to it with him, and we got in the car, and I was sitting in the back seat, my brother was sitting in the front seat, and Tim Biddles was into rock music, and just weird rock music. He was in the Christian school, but he was into rock music, and he turned that up, and the speakers were vibrating in the back window where I was sitting, and it really aggravated me, but I was only a freshman, and going all the way there. But that was the first time I was really introduced to this heavy rock music that they all enjoy. You know, you all are going to come to times in your life where you're going to be introduced to different things in your life. And it's probably going to be when there's no parents around, no teachers around, no authority around. But you're going to have to decide whether you're going to say no or not. You're going to have to say no. Proverbs' biggest enticements for young people. It's the only book in the Bible written specifically to young people. The biggest enticements you're going to deal with is the opposite gender. For whatever reason, this has never been a strong pull for me, but he deals with heavily about wine and liquor and alcohol, things of that sort. He deals with the wrong kind of friends, taking down the wrong path. It's interesting in this chapter number 1, verse number 10 says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. And he says, I'm going to tell you what you need to do, verse number 15, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. You know what you're supposed to do? Go the other direction. You know, the easiest way to say no is not be there to have to say it. You know, so many times the morning's thought is really about saying no, and you will be in a situation where you're going to have to say no. But can I tell you, the best thing for you to do is not put yourself in a position where you have to. All right, so this morning, I want you just to think about saying no, all right? And I want you to ask yourself, you know, do I say no? And
No,
you don't. You need to, all right? You need to get into a place where I'm going to say no. And it's going to, and you know, the ones that you're going to have the hardest time with is not going to be the lost world. The ones you're going to have the hardest time with is people who say that they're Christians. All right? Hey, you know, it's like a person boxing. They always tell you in boxing that when you box, keep your guard up. The time that a person gets hit in the face is when they're you know, they've been in the ring for 2 or 3 minutes. They're tired. They start to drop their guard. And then what happens? The guy nails them. Keep your guard up. You know what happens with a Christian? A Christian keeps their guard up when they're with a lost world. They're working a secular job, or if they're going to a secular university, they know they're walking into the devil's area. But what happens when a person goes to a Christian college or a person goes to a Christian school, they let their guard down because everybody's a Christian, so they think they can talk about whatever they want to talk about, they can do whatever. But you know what? That's the time you got to keep your guard up. And sometimes you're going to have to tell other Christians, no, I'm not doing that. No, we're not doing that. All righty? So the first thing I see about saying no is going to be to sinners, all right? And so you're going to have to make sure that you decide that you're going to say no when people try to tempt you to do wrong. I want you to turn over to Romans chapter number 7. Let me show you another one quickly this morning. Romans chapter number 7, not only sinners, but self. Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul, gave us these verses. Again, most of these are familiar to you. Romans 7, look at verse number 15. For that which I do, I allow not. But for what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, what I hate, that do I. Verse 16, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but what?
Sin that dwelleth
in me. All right, verse number 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth what?
No good.
For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I what? But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is not no more I that do it, but what?
Sin
that dwelleth in me. You're going to have to determine that you're going to say no. Now, is it easy to say no?
No.
Is it easy to tell yourself no?
No.
No. Is it easy for you to keep away from eating too much?
No.
Is it easy for you to get up in the morning?
No.
You know, is it easy for you to obey your parents?
No.
No. And so what you have to do is you have to get to a place where you're going to say no to yourself. Hey, I think the biggest enemy of a Christian is not the devil. This is my opinion now. I think the biggest enemy of the Christian is not the world. I think the biggest enemy of the Christian is me. Because it's our flesh of the things that we enjoy doing. All right? I enjoy eating a lot. Do you enjoy eating a lot?
No.
I don't. Some of you didn't answer. Because you enjoy eating a lot. Hey, I enjoy not wearing ties. Do you enjoy not wearing ties?
No.
You lie through your teeth. You know, I enjoy sleeping in. Do you enjoy sleeping in?
No.
You all are so spiritual. See, I'm not that way. You know, our flesh likes to do what's comfortable to us. Hey, but you're going to have to say no. You know, the greatest Christians are the ones not over people, but the greatest Christians are people who are over themselves. If a person can control themselves, they can control others. But if you can't control yourself, you can't control anybody. You got to make sure that you determine that I'm going to tell myself no. You know, and the older I get, the less I want to tell myself no. And the younger, when I was your age, the harder I think it was to say no. You know, in the 1940s, when a person went to school, the rules that were most broken was chewing gum, like Trevor's doing right now, is chewing gum. Rules that were broken in the 1940s was running in the hallways. Rules that were broken in the 1940s was not raising your hand in class. Rules that were broken in the 1940s was being late for school. That still goes on, I think. But you know what? In the day that we're living in our society that we're living in, the rules that are broken, teenage girls are pregnant out of wedlock. They have to put security officers at the door because young people are bringing guns to school. Drugs and alcohol are major offenses. So it's amazing what took place in the 40s and what's taking place now. It's like a complete different world. You know why? Because people can't say no. And the person they can't say no to is sometimes other people, sinners, but most of the time it's self. They just cannot say no. You know, they are spending, I'm going from memory here, they are spending, if I remember correctly, in the state of Kansas, $13,000. Am I right on that, Josh? They're spending $13,000 per student to educate a child in our public school system. All right. Now, we're spending about $25,000 on you per student. I'm just joking. Okay. But $13,000 per student. Isn't it amazing that the public school has the best computer lab? The public school has the best, quote-unquote, educated people to teach? The public school has the best facilities? But the public school is not producing anybody, really, of worth. Now, there are a few that end up being something. How does a person get spent, somebody that's spent $13,000 per student to educate them, and they don't? I'm going to tell you why. Because what it comes down to is self. You have to tell yourself no. So this morning, I want you to think, are you willing to say no to people who try to get you to do wrong? Yeah, exactly. That's your problem. Are you willing to stand up for Christ?
No.
Get right with God.
No.
Are you willing to put the Lord first?
No.
That's the problem. All right. Hey, what you need to do is you need to tell other people no. And, you know, sometimes you're going to lose friends out of it, what you think are friends. And by the way, if you lose a friend because you tell no, they're not really a friend anyway. So the first thing is you got to tell no to sinners. Second of all, you need to tell no to who?
No.
Self.
No.
Exactly. You need to tell no to yourself. All right. Last one is Satan. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know, you're going to have to say no to the devil. It's interesting when you look through Scripture, all the people Satan tempted. All right, we go back to the Garden of Eden. Who did he tempt there? Tempted Eve. No, he didn't tempt Eve. That's exactly right. And Eve didn't make it. She ate of the fruit. All righty. And then, you know, again, I'm not doing him in order, but probably one of the next people we see that the Bible says that he provoked them to number the people. Who was that?
No.
David. No, it was David, okay? So you had Eve that was tempted. You had David that was tempted. Jesus was tempted. Of course, Jesus' response is, says, as it is written, you know, you're not supposed to tempt the Lord thy God, him you're supposed to worship. You know, when you look through the scripture, there are different people that Satan really tempted, and some yielded and some did not. Now, I just want to tell you that Satan's going to tempt you, and if it's not Satan, it's going to be one of his demons or devils. He's going to try to get you to do wrong. Satan cannot get inside the believer. He can only do it externally. You know, Satan cannot indwell a person, but Satan will use different things and people, and he'll cause you to have temptations in your life. And the devil, he's an amazing orchestrator. He's been doing this for over 6,000 years, so he knows exactly what buttons to push. He knows what your weaknesses are. He knows what's going to cause you to make wrong decisions. He knows what's going to cause you. You know, James chapter 1 says, hey, look at that one for me real quick here. I'll read this last, probably this last passage. Would you turn over to James chapter 1? You have your Bible this morning? No. You should bring your Bible. James chapter number 1. Look it down in verse number 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Look at verse 14. And every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. You know, I think the devil knows exactly what your temptation is. I mean, he knows exactly where to get you at. All right. I've often paralleled, and I think it's so true, is the physical with the spiritual. Physically, all of us have certain things that we enjoy. Now, if you did it with food, or if you did it with recreation, or if you did it with sleep, I mean, there's a lot of things. But food's the easiest one, okay? So there's certain things I like to eat. There's certain things I don't like. How many of you here like black licorice? No? Okay. All right. Well, there's several of you like black licorice. I can't stand black licorice, all right? It ranks up there with watermelon, all right? They just don't have a taste for it, all right? How many of in here, you do not like salad?
No.
All right, just a couple of you. Wow. Wow, pretty good. How many of you in here, you do not like Mountain Dew? Well, there's quite a few that don't like Mountain Dew, all right? I can't stand Dr. Pepper. I mean, just Dr. Pepper is just like, ah! How many of you like Dr. Pepper? Raise your hand.
Yeah.
Wow. There's quite a few of you. We really do need a revival, all right? Hey, all of our appetites are different, okay? So you like Dr. Pepper, I don't like Dr. Pepper. I like Mountain Dew, you don't like Mountain Dew. All of our, but you know what? It's because our appetite physically are different. And can I tell you something? Spiritually, the devil knows which Dr. Pepper or Mountain Dew you like. He knows exactly what your temptation is that would draw you away. And what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to say no to that. And the best way to say no to it is don't go near it. All righty? Hey, if I was trying to give up Mountain Dew, and I'm not, but if I was trying to give up Mountain Dew, I would not go buy a case of it and put it in the refrigerator so I could open up the refrigerator every day and say, nope. I'd make sure my house didn't have any Mountain Dew in it. All righty? If I've got a spiritual temptation in my life, that is a strong temptation. Hey, you already know, but one of the temptations in my life would be television. Now, I'll still watch a video or, you know, DVD, but my wife and I still have like 28 years this month. We've never had a TV, never had cable, never had any type of that inside the house. You know why? Because there's no sense in me putting a temptation there for me. All right, so I know what my temptation is. You know what your temptation is, all right? Whatever your temptation is, you got to do something different. If your temptation is you like to sleep in every day, how many of you love to sleep in? No. How many of you love to sleep in? No. It's because you don't like sleeping in. It's because you're spiritual. All right? But out there somewhere, not in here, there's somebody that you just like to sleep, sleep, and sleep, and sleep. So if that's your temptation, you've got to do something to help with that temptation. Never go to bed. No, I'm just joking. All right, so when I was younger, that was one of my temptations, that I like to sleep. So what I decided, long time ago when I was a teenager, I decided that I would never put an alarm clock next to my bed. I'd put it across the room. So when the alarm clock goes off, I have to get up to turn it off. By the time I get up and turn it off, I'm usually fairly enough awake to be able to keep moving in life. All right? Hey, find out what your temptation is. Stay away from it. And at the very least, say no. All right? And when you say no, flee it. Run from it. Don't do it. All right? So today's lesson is on saying no. So should you say no?
No.
Yes, you should. All right? The devil does not want you to say no. All right? So no, exactly. So what you need to do is you need to say no. So first of all, we need to say no to who?
No.
Twit. All right. Is he a twit?
No.
Yes. No. Is he spiritual?
No.
That's what I thought. All right. All right. Is she wise?
No.
I like it. All right. Is he handsome?
No.
All right. Okay, so first of all, we need to say no to what?
No.
Okay, let's see how we're going to do this. All right, we need to say no to sinners. Is that correct?
No.
That's not going to work either, all right? All right. Okay, we need to say yes to sinners. Do we need to say yes to sinners?
No.
No. Do we need to say yes to ourselves?
No.
Do we need to say yes to the devil?
No.
All right, you're doing good, all right? Hey, you've got to get to a place in your life where you're going to say no, and it starts with you. All right, you can say no. No, I'm not going to do that. And as a Christian, it's going to be up to you whether or not you do it. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. Hey, why don't you ask the Lord to help you to say no? In the model prayer, he tells us at the end of the model prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I would sure much rather have God lead me not into temptation, help me not to have to say no. But he always adds to the model prayer, not only lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. There's going to be times you're going to have to say no. God, deliver me. Help me to say no. So you just need to decide, Lord, I do want to. Would you please help me? Help me to say no. When somebody, whether it's a Christian or a lost person, asks me to do wrong, help me to say no. When it's me that wants to do wrong, help me to say no. And when it's the devil that wants me to do wrong, help me to say no. Not a formal invitation where you come forward, but in your seat, would you just ask the Lord this morning to, if sinners entice, they consent on our God, help me to say no. Heavenly Father, thank you again for the Bible. Lord, you make it so plain for us. A lot of people messed up in Scripture, Lord, because of people. Lord, the outside influences of our life, help us to say no to them. Help us to do what's right. And then, Lord, that person that we're with every day is ourselves. Lord, help us to say no, Lord, when we're tempted to do things that we shouldn't, whether it's eating too much or sleeping too long or speaking things we shouldn't speak or whatever it might be, help us to say no to ourselves. And, Lord, last of all, we can't see the devil, but he's the prince and power of the air. We know he's here. He's around. God, help us not to yield to temptations that might be brought our way because of him. Help us to say no. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.